Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. Or as some render it, 70 times seven times. Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, seven times is a lot of times to forgive, right? That's the assumption that he's making. Seven times, I mean, once is pretty good, twice is really good, three times is great, four times is stupendous, five times is amazing, six times is incredible, seven times must be godly after all. Seven is that powerful number of divineness, godliness, or spiritual perfection. So, seven times, right? And Jesus said, not seven times, not eight times, not nine times, not 10 times, 77 times might start getting close, or 70 times seven, as some of them read, gets even closer. In other words, you should always be ready and willing, poised and prepared to forgive. Thank you. Someone's alive in here. Let's try that again. You should always be ready, be poised and prepared to forgive. Amen. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. This is a hard subject, a tall order to preach on, my friends. Last Sunday I preached on the Lord's Prayer, and I especially got to that part where Jesus says, in teaching us how to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He taught us to pray these words, and we will pray them, and we want that forgiveness, but then we get to that part about forgiving others, and we pause. If we're honest, we pause if we're listening. We pause if we're paying attention to what we're praying. Because forgiving is not necessarily something we're immediately ready to do. And yet Jesus said to pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. As we have already forgiven, forgive us. That's tough, my friends. And I had a couple of really good, interesting questions after worship. One of the questions was, does that mean that if I don't forgive, I don't get forgiven? And another question similar to it was, does that mean that I have to earn forgiveness by forgiving? No. Jesus has already forgiven you. Jesus has already paid the price for sin. Jesus on the cross 1,980 years ago, Jesus on the cross died for your sins. He died for all sin, past, present, and future. Every single sin ever committed by anyone, anywhere, everyone that you have committed or have or going to commit or just thinking about committing, Jesus has already died for them all. Now, does that mean that you automatically get the benefits of that forgiveness? No. I wish it were that easy, my friends, because you see, while the atonement of Jesus is universal, it is limited in its application. We only receive the benefits of the forgiveness of Jesus on the cross for faith in Jesus Christ, for trusting in God, for depending upon His grace, for exercising our beliefs, for faithing in Jesus, the effects of the cross come to us. So we have to respond with faith. for the forgiveness to reach us. And one of those responses is to forgive others. Should I forgive 7 times? No, 77 times. 70 times 7 times. Always be forgiving. And then Jesus tells, in case you didn't get it, Peter, Jesus now tells a powerful story about a servant who owed the master 10,000 talents. Now, you know, 10,000 sounds like a big figure, but it's bigger than you think. It's bigger than you think. A denarius is what you receive if you were a daily wage earner. You receive, that was the minimum wage, you might say. You received a denarius, a single coin, for a day's labor. All right? One denarius equaled one day's labor. One talent is equal to 6,000 denarii. Or denariuses, if you want to say it in English. 6,000 days of labor. 16.5 years earns one single talent. And this servant owed the master 10,000 talents. 6,000 days of work times 10,000 is 60 million days of work, or 164,383 years of work at 365 days a year, no days off for vacation, no sick days, no personal days. 164,000 years of labor is what it would take to earn 10,000 talents if you are a day laborer. And this servant owed the master that much. The little curiosity box in me wants to know, how did he get that kind of debt? Was he going off to the Canaanite version of Las Vegas and playing in a high roller room? Woo! $74 billion, are you crazy? Yes, and he was a servant, and he owed the master that much. There was no way he was going to be able to repay it. No possible way he could have repaid it. And yet he went to the master and he begged the master, please give me time and I will repay it. And the master said, okay, I know you'll never be able to pay it off, so it's forgiven. It's gone. The total debt is wiped out. You are forgiven. And you'd think the guy would go, woohoo, and go out and have a party. And I guess he kind of did. But then the instant he gets out from the master, he sees another servant who owes him 100 denarii. 100 days worth of labor. Now, 100 days, that's a lot of labor. But friends, that's repayable. Might take several years, but you can do it. You can pay off a debt like that. That is doable. And he sees the servant, and he goes up to him, and he grabs him by the neck, and he says, repay me what you owe me. Oh, please, give me time, and I will repay it. No, and he throws him into prison, and his family into prison, until they would repay the debt. In other words, he had received an incredible, amazing, impossible gift. The gift of the forgiveness of an unbelievable 60 million days worth of work. He had been given an amazing gift of forgiveness. But he wasn't willing to forgive a tiny amount. And then Jesus says something that quite literally floors me, quite literally blows me away. So my Heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. We owe a debt that cannot be quantified. We owe a debt that is beyond imagination. We owe a debt that we could never, ever, ever repay. And our Heavenly Father, because of what Jesus has done for us, has said, it's forgiven. It's gone. It's gone completely. Don't worry about it. You are forgiven. And yet we have the gall, we have the temerity, we have the insanity to hold the tiny little 100 denarii debts of others that they owe us against them. We have been forgiven an amazing debt. Any debt owed to us is like a simple little pittance, the little 100 denarii debt. Yes, it might be a big thing to us, but it's nothing compared to what Jesus did for each of us. We have been forgiven beyond our imagination. And yet, any time and every time we refuse to forgive a brother or a sister from our heart, every time we refuse to forgive, we are just like the servant. And what Jesus said should strike home, should cleave us like a sword. So my Heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Now, some of us might try to get away with saying, okay, Cecil, I'm going to forgive you of what you owe me, of the sins you've committed against me. But I'm going to be watching you. I'm going to be watching you. I know you. I know what you're going to say and I know what you're going to do. So I'm going to watch you and I'm going to hound you until the day you die. And I'm going to live longer than you. So it'll be ever, ever here. So while I will say I forgive you, I'm watching you. Most of us try to do that. That's what we try to do. We'll, on the outside, say we forgive. But on the inside, we deny it. On the inside, we watch. On the inside, we hold court and judgment over another. On the inside, we don't forgive. Yet Jesus says you have to forgive from the heart, from the inside, from the very core of your being. You have to forgive truly. No more of this, I'm watching you. No more of this, I'm watching you. But forgiveness, total and complete, without ifs, ands, or buts, without strings, total forgiveness. That's what Jesus tells us to do. And yet most of us don't want to do that. We're like jugglers. I was on the cruise the other week, and one of the people they had in the main show lounge was a juggler. And he's sitting there juggling. I wish I could juggle. If I were to try it right now, you'd be laughing off. You wouldn't believe it. But he's sitting there juggling. The ship is slamming, and he's juggling. He's juggling. He juggled some balls. He then started juggling stuffed animals. And he said if he were on land, he'd be juggling live cats. You see that commercial of the guy who's juggling chainsaws? And the other guy out there says, I'm here for you. Toss it at me. Toss it at me. That one just kills me every time, friends. That's what we're doing. We are juggling chainsaws as we refuse to forgive. And every chainsaw that we juggle is a person we have refused to forgive. It's a sin we refuse to get rid of. Every time we refuse to forgive, we add another chainsaw to the juggling. And as we juggle, it becomes harder and harder and harder to keep them all in the air. But we don't want to let them go because it's too much fun. We don't want to let them go because they've hurt us. We're getting ready to chop off our arms with the chainsaws, but we don't want to let them go. We refuse to forgive. Is it any wonder that we can't receive forgiveness? I said it was a spiritual truth, a spiritual principle, that until you let go of sin, you are ill-prepared to receive forgiveness. Until you are prepared to let go of sin, others' sins against you, trespasses, debts, until you can let them go, you cannot truly be open to receiving. It's like plaque that builds up in the arteries of your body. As that plaque builds up, the blood flow becomes more and more constricted. You start running into risks of strokes and heart attacks until finally an artery gets completely closed off and you have one stroke or a heart attack and you die. That plaque builds up until it kills you. Likewise, we occlude the sins of others in our spiritual arteries, and it starts to choke off the flow of God's grace. And the more we hold on to, the more difficult it is for God's grace to squeeze through our own obstacles. The sin that we commit of holding on to the sins of others, until finally it chokes off completely our ability to receive. Instead of holding on, instead of juggling those chainsaws, we should let them go so that we can then receive the gift of forgiveness that's there, ready, and waiting for us to receive if only we will act in faith and receive it. Well, I like juggling my chainsaws. You love running the risk of chopping off your arms? Well, that's essentially what you're doing spiritually. Well, I want to keep doing this. It's too much fun. I like holding things against people. Did you not hear what Jesus said? So the Heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive from your heart. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we've been forgiven a huge debt, an unimaginable debt. And we hold the tiny debts of others against them. We can't do that any longer. We can't do that as a family of faith. We can't do that as individuals. We can't do that as a community, a church. We can't do that as Christians. We have to be a people of forgiveness because we have been forgiven. My brothers and sisters, I don't know what you're juggling. I don't know what sins you're keeping in the air, what sins you're holding against others. Now's the time to let them go. Now's the time to turn them over to Jesus, who already bore them on the cross. That's one of the most amazing arrogances on our part. Jesus died for every one of those sins. Every one of them, just like he died for yours. And you're ripping them off the cross and off of him and trying to make those people bear them themselves. No, my brothers and sisters. I don't know what you're juggling in the air. I don't know what sin, what hurt, what pain, what grudge you keep sending up in the juggling act. Let it go. Bring it to the table of the Lord today. Feast on the riches of Jesus' grace, on his powerful real presence, and allow him to cleanse you, forgive you, transform you, and enable you to become a person, a people, a community, a church of forgiveness. Let go and let God rule your life. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven means over you, over me, over us too. So forgive. Forgive as you have already been forgiven. Forgive. Forgive. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come and he would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving, as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of the faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. As our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we, though we are many, are one body, for we all partake the one loaf. The bread which we break, it is indeed a means of sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks, it is indeed a means of sharing in the outpoured blood of Christ. If those who are assisting would come forward.
In your presence.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2013 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.